Welcome to Hello Universe, a podcast about spirituality in our everyday lives. We're your co-hosts, Kylie and Eva.
Hi, I'm Eva.
And I'm Kylie. Wait, isn't this in the recorded? Isn't that in the song fun part? We say this.
Yeah, but we always start the show with I'm Kylie. I'm Eva. Welcome back to another episode.
Okay. Please leave this in.
I was gonna say no, but we're good. We'll just start here. Every week, y'all. Every week we do this, but somehow. But here we are. Still, we created a successful podcast. So who cares?
So you too at home can have wild success and be a hot mess. It's the only way.
Yeah,
it's
that's the lesson. Way. That's the takeaway, guys.
Speaking of lessons, this whole episode, we're going to talk about what we have learned in this, the wildest, longest decade/year, year that is a decade of our lives. But before we talk about 2020 and what it's taught us, Eva, what do you have anything cooking in your business that you want people to know about?
Yeah. So now that it's coming up to the end of the year, I've had some spaces open up for more one-on-one coaching. And I'm going to be raising my prices in the new year. So if you've been interested in working on one-on-one, if you thrive really well with that kind of personal attention, this might be a really good time to jump on board. What do I need to say about that? I mean, so I think the 45-minute consult is where you can really find out most about how I can help you specifically. If you're interested in getting coaching for your own spiritual evolution, for mindset stuff, for being an intense and passionate woman, which if you are, I see you, I get you, and I want you to be able to turn those things into not things that overwhelm you, but feel like gifts that you can share with the world. You can find me at evaleo.com or Instagram is where I hang out the most, and you can book a 45-minute consult there. So get on it before the end of the year, y'all.
Love it. Do it. And it also strikes me that this is a beautiful time to sign up with a spirituality and mindset coach, because we all are going to have New Year's intentions, you know, like we're coming out of 2020, like, you know, with the bright, fresh, my friend is an astrologer, says 2021 January has got like some good, you know, fresh air kind of vibes to it. Yeah. So like, you know, having someone hold space for you in creating whatever new thing you're trying to create in the new year feels like a really beautiful. Like,
yeah. I mean, you're speaking my language, because January is Capricorn season, which is like me, it's me people. Capricorn season is where I thrive. And I'm like, yes. This is time for transformation. This is time for possibility. This is time for change. Like, I love the new year. But I will say, I do think it's important to say, since we are creeping up on the new year, my way about the new year has changed a lot, where it used to be this like intense, you know, like hustling energy of like change. And now, speaking about lessons, I feel like 2020 has been shown me so clearly how change comes from being gentle, like that feminine, gentle power of compassion. So I'm just putting that out there, because I do think a lot of change actually does. It's not good. If you struggle with anxiety, when you like come at your goals from that anxious energy, you're just reinforcing more of that energy.
And you're like, 2020 is the year that I'm going to be perfect. Or 2021 is you're going to be perfect.
Exactly.
Like, that is actually going to backfire is what you're proposing.
Exactly.
And that, but here's the thing. If you are someone who like tends to combat your intentions with this intense energy, and you know there's another way, but you don't know how to access it, then you all go book your consult with Eva.
Okay.
Because she can help you figure out how you build that more like mindful, gentle path that's actually accessible to you. Because sometimes I feel like you can know you should be doing something different, but it's like, well, I've never ridden a bike before, so I don't know how to ride the bike, you know?
Yeah. So I mean, I think that's like, so often the struggle. It's like how? I know I want to do this, but how? And I think that's why I work so well with women who, you know, are ambitious and have anxiety, because I get that. Like, that's so much of my personality too.
Yes. I love it.
Alrighty. What about you, Kylie? You have something exciting to share.
Yeah. So I took everything I learned from teaching, learned to read the Akashic Records a couple times, and you know, everything I know from spending a lot of time there myself. And I turned it into a self-study course. And I'm so excited, and honestly just like really proud of it. Yeah. Like, I just like look at the table of contents of this course. I'm like, this is so great.
As you should be. I think you should be so proud. I really think this is like so organically born. You know what I mean? Which is always a good sign when you know like something's good.
Yes. Yes. Like literally like the reason I taught this was because like three people asked me about learning to read the records within an hour of each other. And then the course was born to begin with. And then I taught it twice. And as I was done teaching it the second time, I could tell like I love for people to have this information because it's been so life-changing for me. And also it doesn't actually feel like the workshop I want to run over and over and over. Like that's the manifesting generator in me, like this person who like constantly kind of like is creating new projects. And I was like, I want this information to be as accessible to everyone. And also like, it doesn't actually make sense to keep running these course workshops that then aren't the most inexpensive because it's like, you know, your time. Anyways, so it feels really great to have like put it all together, synthesize like all the different stumbling blocks that people have, and yeah, create this course. So it walks you through like, what are the Akashic Records? There's a channeled message to kick off the course. And then it walks you through some fundamentals just around like fine tuning your ability to receive messages and your intuition in general. And then it digs in specifically to the records. So it's great because if you are having stumbling blocks around accessing your records, then you just go back and do these intuition exercises over and over again to kind of strengthen. And then there's like a whole section around like kind of troubleshooting and like, you know, going deeper and different kind of healing you can do in the record. So I love it. I'm really, really proud of it. And also I'm just like, so absurdly passionate around like, if you are interested in the records, like it's a really beautiful tool to have in your back pocket. Like not that everyone who learns to read the records is going to like become obsessed with them like I am, but like how often are you walking around just feeling like, I wish I knew what to do in this situation, or I wish I had guidance, or I wish I had an outside perspective in the noise of my own head. And like, that actually exists. That's
what the records are. Yeah. I actually totally tapped into the records this past week.
Did you?
Yeah. With my launch. And I was like, I need some extra guidance. And you always walk away, I think, with something, you know what I mean? And I think what I love so much about this course is it's practical as in you can literally go from not knowing anything about the records to reading the records in 4 weeks, which is like, that's so cool.
And now that it's self-study, you could do it all in a weekend.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Cause you know, like exactly, it's like you could do like in like, it's, you know, there it's all like 10 to 15 minute videos. So that was the other fun thing is that like, you know, as someone who's like, you know, a mom, two kids, like my free time is limited. So like I'm interested in learning things, but I'm like, I don't have like hours to sit down and learn them. Mm-hmm, so I purposely made it like, it's all these just 10, 15 minute videos. So it's very digestible. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because also like that's the, that like after 15 minutes, your brain's like, okay, I'm on information, information maxed out. So it's like much more bite-sized. And so, yeah, you can, so that also you can revisit, right? So if there's like a topic that you're like, wait a minute, this, you know, it's been a month and you're like, I need some more support on that. You know, and it's a living thing. So as people give me feedback of like, questions, places where they're still confused, like I'll just add more videos, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the other night just before I launched it, I went to take a shower because I couldn't fall asleep. And I was just like, I want to take a shower to go calm down. And then while I was in the shower, I was like getting bombarded with new ideas for the course. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess that's what I'm doing instead of sleeping. So anyway, who knows? I might add more content to it, but
yeah,
I love
that's
it.
Awesome.
And so KylieCaldwell.com, it's right there on my website. And it's $97 through the end of the year. So it's a really good time to, if you're interested, scoop it up now.
Yeah. That could be a good virtual stocking stuffer for someone.
Yes. Oh my God. I hadn't even thought of that. I love that. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. So tell me, Eva, what have you learned in this year?
Can I have you start? Because it's like, oh my goodness. We just for full transparency, y'all, like Kylie and I decided on this topic like an hour before we started recording. And I was like, oh my God, what did I learn this year? I have to go and like really think and like reflect. And so I kind of like gathered things in a tizzy. So I want to hand it to you, Kylie. I don't know.
That's fair. Well, I before we started recording, I commented that like asking us in December to figure what we learned in 2020 is like asking someone to process their trauma in the middle of their trauma. Like this year is so fucking intense and weird. It's kind of, I think it will actually take a little while to actually figure out what I've learned this year. And I love a good retrospective. So, you know, but this year is fucking wild, right? Like I mean, everyone has their own version of the weirdness and intensity of this year. But in January, I was working full time as a sales director, still making my way through postpartum depression, like had an Instagram account, and I was afraid to like say my last name on our podcast.
Yeah. I mean, like, you've had a really big sort of transformative year.
Yeah. Oh, our podcast actually wasn't even live yet because we launched it. It actually released in February. So we were recording in October of 2019, but we didn't actually release the episodes until February. So yeah. So like the beginning of the year, the podcast wasn't even out yet. Like I was like very much like in this space of like, wouldn't it be nice? So I actually found a journal entry that I wrote around this time last year. And it was me just like talking about how much I wanted this thing that I'm living now.
Don't you love those moments though?
When you like, I want to go back to like old me. And I'm like, high five, it fucking happens.
It's crazy. It's amazing when that happens. Okay. Yes, definitely. Yes. I would love for you to read and share a little bit of this.
So it's not like, it's not super juicy, but it's basically this moment where I was leading a free meditation class at my yoga studio at the time. And I had been like reading other things every week. Like I'd like read Pema Chodron or whatever. And I had this realization that I was like, oh, I'm not actually like teaching it. Like I'm not letting myself be a leader, right? Like I'm just reading from this book. And like, this is, these people are coming here because like people keep coming back. It has nothing to do with me. So I should like kind of step into the space of like owning this little meditation group, which is obviously since disbanded because COVID. And that like in the same moment that I recognized that I needed to, that like I needed to take ownership, like a giant hawk like practically laid it on my head. And then I got home and the yoga studio owners were like, hey, we want to pay you $15 like a class for this because we're so grateful that you're doing it. So it was like this very cool like moment of like, oh, like as you lean into taking ownership, the universe is like, thank fucking God. Mm-hmm, right.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so that was like the backstory. And then I wrote, I've spent a lot of time asking the universe for money, for clients, for an abundant business, but am I taking ownership of that business? Am I respecting my voice as a channel? Am I honoring that I have a gift and the readings I can offer are a special medicine I can offer? Or am I hiding, shrinking, diminishing? What does it feel like to honor these gifts, to believe that I'm here to share this medicine? And I think
so. That's so beautiful.
And I think that's like, I think that's the thing that 2020 has taught me perhaps loudest, is that if there are these things that I am desiring, I have to take responsibility of those desires and of the person that I am that makes them happen, right? Like, like it's easy to sit back and kind of feel like, oh, why don't I have this thing? I really want this thing. But I wasn't actually, and it's all okay. Like, it's just the part of the evolution. But I because I was, didn't feel safe because I had like stories showing up, I wasn't actually taking ownership. Like I wasn't treating those desires with like care and tenderness and taking responsibility for them. Mm-hmm. I was just like kind of resentful of them because I was like, well, they're never going to happen. Mm-hmm. And along every fucking time that I like leaned in to take ownership of like, oh, I'm the one that makes these dreams come true. Like it's my voice. I have to like show up on the stage. That's always been when whatever it is that I'm desiring like starts to percolate, whether it's $15 a week for a yoga class or like having a full roster of clients. It's actually the same fucking process of just like, oh, I'm the one, like which is also to say like you're the one, right? It's not like I'm the one, like I'm the messiah,
right?
Like,
we are all the ones in our own life.
we are all the one. And like there is this way that we are so disbelieving that we get to have the thing that we give up before we even try. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. So one thing that stood out to me in that journal entry, which by the way, I just want to say thank you for sharing that. Like people reading journal entries out loud and me being able to witness that is, I think, one of my most favorite things anytime ever anyone's ever done that for me. And it's so intimate. Like I love getting that intimate human experience into someone else's like, yeah, humanity. I just love it so much. But what I heard you say was that it sounds like you're saying you have to take ownership of it, but I also heard you say in your journal that you had to value your own gifts. Like, yeah. I think those two things go hand in hand, meaning like it was you valuing that you had something to share and that it was worthy that also then helped you step into owning it and like taking the action that you needed to take.
Yes. That's a really good point. Yeah. The precursor to all of it is like, oh, what if I actually had something to share? Like, you know, on my own Instagram account, yeah, right? Yeah. Or like wherever this space, which is funny now because like my Instagram account is such a snooze fest. But like, it's just funny that keeps me, is like always the example I use. But what is like, we have to, I mean, put in like a simple way, I think it's basically like, what does it look like if you bet on yourself?
Mm, yeah.
And I think this year I finally bet on myself, mm-hmm, in this, I mean, I've done it in other ways for different things, but around this particular dream, I finally bet on myself. And like, that's when it all changed, but it's scary to bet. Cause like you could lose, mm-hmm, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yes, you can lose, but for anyone out there is listening who, you know, can relate to all of this, it's like, while I acknowledge that you can lose and that's why it's scary. And again, I feel that way too. Like I get in my own way all the time, but the truth is like, we're losing either way. Like we also lose when, yeah, we don't place the bet. You know, yeah, what I mean? So yeah, it's like, it's always that contradiction of like, they're both hard. You just got to pick your heart, pick the one that's going to hopefully like lead you down the path of liberation.
Yes. 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 And like, I don't know. I think this year is so strange to me. One of the reasons is because like in the midst of all of this like real tragedy and grief, like one of the things that I have wanted most for my whole adult life has come true, mm-hmm, and come true in like a fucking explosion beautiful way, mm-hmm, and so it's like this huge juxtaposition of like grief and pain and like I miss hugging people. Mm-hmm. You know, like I long for the moment when I can just sit in a coffee shop with my friend, mm-hmm, you know, like we all have these things that we are like aching for. And I have this thing that I wanted,
yeah,
my whole life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and so it's like, Charles Dickens, the best of times, the worst of times. Like I'm actually living my dream, yeah, in the midst of like my own grief and this like global tragedy. And it's just this very like, I don't know. It's a weird thing.
It's surreal. It's, yeah, a huge paradox. It's like your mind is like doing a record skip, or kind of what I was talking about earlier before we started recording, which I'll talk more about on the show probably, but it's like this idea of our multi-dimensional reality, which is that you're having both experiences at one time.
Yeah. Yeah. Say more about it. Explain what you mean by that, because I think that was a really beautiful, like.
Yeah. So this is okay. So if you listen to this podcast, you know that I and we both on this show talk about all the time that actually when you really are intimately connected and living your life, what you begin to notice is that life is just a bunch of paradoxes, like at all times. It's like, and we all experience this on like a daily level. So like in your example, blissfully happy because of your new business, and then also the pain of living in a pandemic. I'm just trying to think of like all the paradoxes that we feel all the time that we've talked about on the show.
Yeah. I mean, like motherhood's a great paradox where like you like are so madly in love with your kids, and also like no one makes you as mad as your kid who won't fucking tie your shoes or yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or how like, I'm trying to think of like in a personal example, like, okay. I have an example of how on a very personal level, grief, the experience of grief is like feels shitty, but when you really like examine what grief is, you also notice that it's also love. Mm. Like that's something that I've experienced this year is like, oh, grief is also just love because I'm missing something that I really appreciated. And that, yeah, is like a really weird paradox right there, because you feel terribly sad about something that makes you feel really alive and full of love. Like, mm, that's like a record skip moment in the brain. You're like, when the human being is like, oh, whoa, how do I hold space for both of these experiences? Yeah, and so previously, yeah, what I was calling like paradoxes, Pilar Lesko, who's also a coach, and she's going to be on our show in January, and I cannot wait to have her on the show. I heard her talk about it just using, she calls it like the multidimensional nature of our reality. And I always used to think the word multidimensional was referring to like other dimensions in like a 5D world, a 6D world, or like, you know, things that we can't see. And I'm sure it has that connotation too. But to me, it's this very useful vocabulary for describing like, oh, it's just like, even now in our reality, constantly we're having all these different experiences that are, it's just not black, it's not white, it's not right, it's not wrong. It's like constantly just a multidimensional experience. So anyway, that's what I was saying about that. And what I think you're experiencing is like,
yeah,
that weird experience. It's so strange.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's, and I think one of the reasons why it's strange, I love how weird, it's like already in a thought experiment, is because we want one of them to be true. Like we don't like, as humans, as egoic beings, like holding space for the gray area of like mm-hmm. both being true. And mm-hmm. so we want to like pick, like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. This year is a dumpster fire. Right. And like, right. we like what spirituality, I think, actually teaches us is like living in the space where both are true mm-hmm. instead of like ping ponging between them or right. like denying one and over identifying with the other.
Totally.
And yeah.
And just from a psychological point of view, they talk about it. Like, this is a thing of the mind that we have black and white thinking, because it's the mind wants simplicity. Like, we want to go, yes, I got it. And so understandably so, I have a lot of compassion for black and white thinking, because when I was like very young and at the height of my anxiety, it was just something that my brain naturally did because I think I was trying to understand. But actually yeah. that grasping for understanding in that black and white way actually causes us more anxiety, because mm-hmm. that's not actually reality. Reality is actually totally multi-layered and nuanced. So
yes. And it's actually interesting because I'm trying to like it's interesting watching my son try to grapple with that too, right? Because like 4-year-olds like very much want the world to be black and white. And so it's just really like, that's just like how their brains work. And so it's just really interesting watching him, and now I can't think of my own example, but like watching him trying to figure out like how the world works, and then trying to help him complicate it. like he has this book. Okay. He loves Cars, the book Cars, the movie Cars. And he has a book of it. And there's this, and like, side note, Cars 3 is a great movie, guys.
I have not seen it, but I've been getting really into happy Cars movies.
Oh my God. I recommend Cars 3. Cars 1 is okay. Cars 2 is terrible, but Cars 3 is great. It's okay. About like the, like, main guy realizes that like he's kind of past his prime, and he like discover and he realizes like in the critical moment that like this young Hispanic Cruz Ramirez girl trainer is actually the racer, and he like throws her in, and so like the hero is, anyway, it's a great movie. And this book had like was making up stories that aren't from the movies. Anyway, you guys so much about Cars. I am so sorry. This is my world, okay? My world is like alternate realities and the Akashic Records and fucking Cars 3.
Mm-hmm. And then 2 kids.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, in this book, there's this whole story where like, what? Lightning is racing a girl car, and she's like Barbie Pink, and she's like devious and keeps trying to cheat. And I like, what the hell, Cars? Anyway, so I was like very upset reading the story that I actually stopped, and I was like, Mom doesn't like this story. I can't, like, it was so sexist. So
wait, hold on. I'm missing it. What part was sexist?
This is like so not the point of my story. I just can't tell things in brief. The whole there's these books, which is different than the movie, but these books don't have any girl characters. And mm-hmm. the one time a girl character showed up, it was like, the only way she wins is because she's a cheater. Oh, and she's like, I see. You know, like mm-hmm. very like devious and not mm-hmm. trustworthy mm-hmm. versus like the guy Cars or like his buddy. And it's just like, mm-hmm. which one of us is going to win? Yeah, so
got it.
Anyway, I was like, and she had all these adoring fans that Lightning was upset about. Anyways. So I like literally had to stop reading that. I was like, I don't like the story. I'm reading a new story, but I was like, how do I explain this to you, why I don't like this story, in a way that like doesn't just get locked into black and white thinking, mm-hmm. right? Like, because like sexism and the patriarchy is a nuanced thing, and like there's like, anyways, it's just you can just edit this whole long tangent out, because all I was trying to say was that I agree with you, and it's weird watching a 4-year-old trying to figure it out. That is,
yeah, the, okay, got
that
it.
Is what, but I was trying to say.
Okay, but it's an important point though, because our adult minds aren't actually that different from 4-year-old minds.
True.
Like, that's yes. the thing. It's like, yeah. So going back to, I think, what we were originally saying though, which is that what you've learned about,
aside from my dislike of various Cars yes. paraphernalia,
well, it's just being able to like hold space for both of those things, that
Yeah.
The pandemic has been hard. And also this year has been really lovely.
For you
in some ways.
And like, yeah, I mean, I think I've grown more this year than probably any, like, I just feel like a completely different person.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. Like, that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's weird because as your friend, I see you regularly. So it's kind of like if someone, I don't know if this is a good analogy, but you know, when you haven't seen someone for a long time and all of a sudden they maybe gain weight or lose weight, you notice it. But if you see them every day, you don't notice it. Right.
Yeah.
So I see you regularly enough to be like, oh, you're Kylie. Like,
yeah,
but it's true. When I look back, when we started this podcast, which was only like, what, 7 months ago, like the first one came out, like, you were concerned that people from your corporate job would hear it and be like, oh, like, what is this? And now you've really just fast-tracked yourself into a different lane.
Yeah. Like, literally, I told a story about opening the records of a fucking tree and how the tree showed me how it sees the energy of my children. And I just like put that out in public as like, this is my world now. And I like love it.
Yeah. Like, cause you're free. You know? You're fucking free.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I don't want to paint an overly rosy picture of like, I still spend lots of time worrying too much and like looking at fucking Facebook and like I do not at all mean to be like, and now I figured out the whole world, but like I have figured out some really fundamental things to make this thing that I desperately wanted a reality. Mm-hmm. And I am grateful to be living that, but I'm also grateful like for like all of the like all the things that have moved through me to get to this moment.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there's no way that you could have gone through this experience without having to learn a lot of things. But also I imagine it's been profound because like you, it's like, anytime you up level like that, you have to really kind of hold on tight to yourself and really honor yourself. And there's just like a lot of that kind of work that goes into it.
Yeah. And I guess, and I think that's the one other big thing that I've learned is like, I really trust that I'm held.
Mm.
Like I really trust when I get like a, you know, you guys have heard me joke before, like when I get a ping to like work with someone, like I'm just like, well, okay, here we go. Like, but there's all sorts of ways that like, I just have this faith, not that things will work out how I want, but like, because I think the most important thing is actually like our expansion and the lessons we learn or whatever. But I have this faith that like if I listen, I will be given guidance on like which way to go that will best serve me. And then I have to choose if I listen to it or not, right? Mm-hmm. Like the other day I got very clear guidance that was like, and now you're done with your phone for the rest of the day. And I was like, no, I'm just ignoring it.
Yep, totally.
Right? Yeah. So, you know, but I think like there's been all these moments for, like, you know, when I was like newly unemployed / self-employed, but like wasn't making enough money at that point to like really be all that self-employed. And I got this like really strong nudge to work with Meghan Markey, you know, our guest from last week. And I like, it didn't make any logical sense, but I had this faith because I was like, I've been through smaller and smaller versions of this. So like, I know what this means. Mm. And then like, that was probably the best fucking decision I made for my whole, or one of the best decisions. So like, yeah. So I feel like there's this faith that I can tune in somewhere inside of me for guidance and nothing could take that from me.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. Can you speak a little bit more about your experience with following that, the nudge to then work with Meghan, which was like very helpful? Meaning, was it like you had this pull? Mm-hmm. And even though, was there a point where you're like, this doesn't necessarily make sense? Did you you ever like, I don't know if I should do this, but I'm just going to do it because I'm feeling pulled to do it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah, so like, I guess I'll back up even further. Like when I actually think the biggest turning point was, so I spoke to a woman who was my first coach. I spoke to her on the Monday. And that Wednesday, everything shut down, like in March, right? Mm. So like on Monday, I was like, okay, yeah, you're the coach. I'm going to hire you. And then that Wednesday, everything shut down. And I was like, just kidding. Like the world is shutting. Like we're in this unforeseen situation. You can't even buy toilet paper. I'm not hiring a coach that I can't afford. And then maybe a week went by and I took my son to the beach because again, there was nowhere else for us to go. Right. So I took my son to the beach and I was driving there and I just had this like strongest sense that I was like, I have to hire her. And I put on a credit card. Like I didn't have the money, like, but I was like, okay, like I'm in, like, and it did not make any sense. Right. Mm-hmm. Literally the whole world was shutting down. Mm-hmm. There was like, no, like nothing about it made sense. Mm-hmm. But I just in my body had this sense that like, this is it. Like mm-hmm. you want this thing or not. And if you want this thing, then you have to fucking show up for it. Mm-hmm. And my version of showing up for it was that I needed someone to hold my feet to the fire that was to say like, that what I was saying in the beginning, about like kind of taking ownership of my own dream. Like I needed some like kind of tough love because that was that coach style, which was exactly what I needed, which was like, then go do it, go show up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it did not make any sense. But it was like, for me, it's something that I can just like feel in my body.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing with Megan, but less intense, where I was like, this doesn't make sense. Like I just lost my job. Like I'm not looking for a coach. And also like, it was so sure in my being mm-hmm. that I was like, oh, okay. And I totally felt like throwing up, like, you know, like, yeah. Like after I was like, okay, I felt like really, really confident and sure. And then I paid the invoice and I was like, oh my God, what did I just do?
Yeah, that happens too. There's always like, sometimes it's like that backlash and you're like, oh my God, you just got to trust that initial pull.
Yeah. How about, does that something that you experienced too? Like that sense of knowing, does that show up for you? Cause we've talked before how like I feel things and you like think things, like you're mm-hmm. more cerebral. So I'm curious how it shows up for you.
Okay. It's interesting because for all this talk about me being someone who's cerebral, actually, when I feel pulled to do something, it's actually in my body. Mm. So it's like sometimes it's like a full body feeling. Just, I don't even know how to explain it. And sometimes it's like a feeling in my stomach or I don't know. I can't explain it. I don't think is that what it feels like
really
for you?
Yeah, it is really hard. You know what it is? It is hard to explain. And so I'm curious, those of you who are listening, I'd love to know if you have your own version of this, I'd love to know how it shows up for you, this sense of like knowing what decision to make, even if it's not the logical decision. I think for me, it's like a sense of ease that shows up in my body. Like it's like the knowing is my body being like, that one, almost like, you know, when people hit like tuning forks and they like vibrate at the, like the right pitch mm-hmm. and it just is like it just clicks and like it sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's like that. It's like my body is just like vibrating at the right pitch that matches this opportunity.
Yeah.
And it just feels right.
Yeah. 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 I would say there's a feeling of like it feeling right for me too. And also I think it feels like, I know what fear feels like in my body mm-hmm. and it's helpful to be like, I know this isn't fear. Like it's the opposite of that. It feels like assured. Feels
yeah, like if there's like an expansiveness that shows up.
Yeah.
Which is different than the hyped up, like anything is possible. I can do whatever I want. Like,
yeah, I would also say, because it's also grounded though for me. Like it's expansive, but for me, it actually feels grounded. Just like an assured feeling in my body.
Yeah. And I think this is why I feel really passionate about like people tapping into their own inner knowing in one way or another, because like if you practice this with like small things, like literally like yes or no, what should I eat for dinner kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think you start to know what this feels like in your own body. And so then when you do have to make a big decision, mm-hmm. you have it to fall back on. Mm-hmm, totally. But if we don't ever practice it in small ways, then making those big decisions is terrifying.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Because you also really are flying blind.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't have that like muscle memory. I think eventually intuition becomes more like easy to access because you know what it feels like. It's like, yeah, it's like muscle memory. You're like, oh, I've been here before. I know what.
Yeah.
I know that day that I chose to eat pizza was exactly the right choice. And this feels like that.
Yes. 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 And I think that's a good point too, because I also think it gets easier and easier. Like at this point, I feel like it would be, there's certain types of say yes to this, say no to that, it would feel hard for me to not listen. And like working with Megan was one of those examples where I was like, this doesn't really make logical sense. And also like, it would feel painful for me to say no to this because it's like such a strong sense of knowing.
Yeah. That it feels like you're betraying yourself at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that is something that like I always had some version of that, but it was like, it was definitely not as fine tuned. So it's something that I've like that was something that like, like I couldn't control when that knowing showed up.
Right.
You know, it would just be like arbitrary. Like,
right.
But I remember like when I got my promotion at my old corporate job to be the director, I had another offer at the same time and I was trying to decide, and it was like very clear to me to take the promotion. Mm-hmm. But then there would be other times where like that knowing wasn't accessible. Like I couldn't turn it on or off. It was just like, oh, it's shown up now. Yeah. Whereas now it's like this constant where I just like, I know how to settle in enough to find out. And
I don't know if you remember, but so when you and I first met, we had a conversation, you would tell me, you're like, oh, I would get these thoughts and I don't know if they're right. And then we were like, I think that's your intuition. Like, do you remember that conversation?
No,
you don't remember. Like that's something that like stood out to me so much, where it was like you had these thoughts and you didn't know what they were, and I was like, yeah, that's, I think that's just like your intuition talking to you, and you're like, oh, that's what that is.
And we've come full circle. That's amazing. I mean, I know, I always think about how you were the person who made me feel safe as I was kind of cracking open, and I said this before on the show, to my own spirituality, because I was like, oh, she's very normal. And like,
that's so funny. I've had so many people say that to me. I've had a client come to me and be like, you know, I wasn't sure because I knew this was like going to be like a spiritual thing, but like, but also you just seem like a normal person. I'm like, yeah, that's how it is.
Like, I remember once you like made some passing comment where you're like, yeah, I do believe in manifestation. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. No, it's not just crazy people. Okay. I can that's an option now. I get to like look into that.
Yeah.
All right. How about you?
Okay. I'm going to just read a couple of things. We're not going to get into all of them, but I'm going to share a couple of things that I wrote down that I, and then I'll maybe just pick one and go with it. But one thing I wrote down, this is actually something that Adam was talking about, that having an irresponsible government is very dangerous. That's one thing. That spiritual practices are actually incredibly practical, because literally they're like, it's like this warm raft, I guess, atop like a storm, meaning like when things are crazy, it's so helpful to have these, whatever you want to call them, practices, mindsets, this idea of faith and trust and intuition, all of this stuff. It's like the stuff that's going to guide you when like the ride gets really, really bumpy. Let's see, what else do I have here? Oh yeah, that change can happen quickly.
That's a big one. Yeah.
That's a big one, right? It's like that, like it doesn't always have to be like 20 years in therapy. Therapy is great. You know what I mean? Like, no, I love therapy, but also like, see, like 2020 has shown that I think a lot of things can happen really fast. And maybe time, going back to this idea of like time isn't what we think it is, like maybe things can happen like super fast. I think I've been, like me personally, on a personal level, this work that I've been doing, which I've really like ushered into my coaching, I think in this really beautiful way, is learning. So much of my work is like being with what is. And I think I've learned to work with emotions in this really cool way that I've also learned from Tom, which is like, and I'm actually thinking about possibly doing a workshop on this, like how to deal with like emotions. But, and like what I've been learning, what I've been doing a lot in my own practice is being like, okay, I feel an emotion. I feel sad. I feel anxious. And just like going into that emotion and just feeling it completely and just like, whoosh, like letting it move through me, where it's like, I do this. I at least do this 2 times a day, probably at least, but more if like there's stuff going on, but it's this.
Can you explain a little bit of like how to do that? Cause I feel like sometimes something will show up and I'm like, oh, this is a thing I need to feel. But then I'm like, how do you feel a feeling?
Yeah.
Like when you're so used to resisting it, do you know?
So the body's like so intelligent, and so it's always the things that luckily, like these are things that you already know how to do, like slowing down, right? It's like the same thing that we need to do when we listen to our intuition. You have to slow down. And then it's like, okay, name the feeling, right? So let's just say it's like anger. Okay. So first you have to name it, because sometimes we don't even know what it is. Sometimes we think it's anger, but it's actually sadness. Do you know what I mean? So then you name it, and then you're like, okay, well, where do I feel this in my body? because there's always somewhere like that. Your meaning, when I say your body's intelligent, it's like, it's not complicated. It's not this complicated thing. It's like, it can show up in your, like the normal places are like our stomach, our chest, our throat, our heads. And then there's also numbness, which is a feeling in itself too. Like numbness is a feeling. So sometimes when people are like, I don't feel anything, I'm like, well, what does numbness feel like? Like that's not nothing.
You're blowing my mind. Cause yeah, sometimes I get really down on myself. Like when that feeling of numbness comes over, cause I'm like, well, I'm denying what I'm supposed to be feeling like. And I kind of want to like just bootstrap my way out of it. And like,
Yeah. And it's interesting. You can be like, what does numbness feel like? But without needing to try to even explain it into words, just feel the numb.
Right.
Just like feel the numb.
Oh my God. You're fucking blowing my mind.
And then it's like, okay, well then feel it and like go into that, like feel. So if it's like even a full body numb or maybe just like a numbness in like a specific part of your body, it's like, just go all the way into feeling what that numbness feels like without identifying with a story of where this numbness is coming from. Like that is huge. Like being able to be like, I feel numb but not carry around all the whys I feel numb without the like, just in that moment, like this isn't something you do for forever. It's just something that you do like in the present moment for like a minute, 5 seconds, whatever. Just feeling numb without needing to analyze why you feel numb.
Yes. Cause the analyzing is actually like
reinforcing.
Yeah. Right.
Reinforcing or getting caught up in the story, or it's just mind. That's more mind coming in from like the back door. But like feeling is just like, oh, I feel it. And then you'll find over time, like it starts to move or flow or dissipate or something else will come up underneath that. And then you work with that. Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's just this really powerful thing that I've been playing with a lot this year that has been so helpful. And I honestly, like anyone who's listening, like if you want to try it, I think you can. I would just suggest that you don't try it on your most traumatic things. Like, you know, like if you're annoyed with your boss, then try it with that. Maybe that's not traumatic. You can just be like, well, what does annoyed feel like? And then go all the way into just letting yourself have that experience. Because like my teacher, Tom, always says, he's like, that feeling just wants to have it a life. It just needs to have an experience. And by denying that, it's like the most unkind thing that we can do for ourselves, but actually just like letting it have its life. And then it goes. It actually does like go. And then it's helped me live more in like the moment by moment. And sometimes I will literally just lie in bed and just be like flooding my body with consciousness. And this is something that I talk about in the course, which is like something I'm teaching in the course. It's like, just flood your whole experience right now, just for like 10 seconds with consciousness and be like, what is happening in my body? And being like alertly aware without the stories of like thought in there. And it's really cool.
Yeah. You are such a master at just providing these like practical, tangible things. I just am always in awe at the way like you just.
Oh, thanks, Kylie. Yeah,
like that's such a gift, because I feel like I have a knowing that I'm living in resistance to feeling things, but then I'm like, I don't like, I know that I'm doing this thing, but then what do I do with that knowing?
Yeah.
And then you just show up and you're like, here. It's actually very simple.
Thank you. So yeah. Nice. It's a lot of like personal practice, but here's another tip that I want to share with you or anyone else who's listening, cause I think this is also really important. Something that I teach in the course, which I'm really just sharing now, is like, if what you're feeling is resistance, like feel the topmost layer of the thing. So if resistance is what you're feeling, then feel resistance. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And be like, okay, well then I feel resistance. Instead of trying to like get under the resistance, feel like actually you're maybe feeling just annoyed, but don't feel the annoyance, because that's not what's at the top.
You are feeling resistance. Like feel the resistance.
Yeah, feel the resistance. Right. Like, well, rather than like
resisting the resistance. Yeah.
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 And if you don't know what resistance feels like, then that's part of where the journey starts. It's like asking yourself, what does resistance feel like? And then it's just like intuition. You familiarize yourself with the feeling, and then eventually it will become second nature. Yeah.
You're just changing my life right here. No big deal. Okay.
Yeah. Well, this kind of goes along with, I think, my biggest takeaway. I think if I looked at this list, like, so this has been a hard year politically, like socially, I don't know, like everything that's going on in the world. And I think one of my biggest takeaways is like, this idea of like, I've never really trusted the government anyway, so that's not new, but maybe feeling a new sense of empowerment of being like, we can take this into our own hands. Mm-hmm. And this is the conversations that like you and I have had that you've also helped inspired me like to understand, is like, we have power. But I think for me, a lot of my struggle was believing that what I had to give was of value, was in of enough value, because I kept thinking I need to like go out and like be an activist or do all these other things to like be a part of the movement. And it, honestly, it's also been like the conversations that we've had with some of our guests, be like,
yeah,
you're whatever that you have a special thing, and whatever that is like what you need to do, and just like stay in your lane and stop trying to be something else. Just like, yeah, you have a special brand of magic, whatever that magic is. And for me, it's been like, oh, okay, I need to like honor myself. So like similarly, what we were talking about with you earlier, it's like honoring myself and being like, this is valuable. And I may not be like in politics, I may not like whatever, but like, this is helpful. And the more I can honor that, because if I'm just like doubting myself the whole time, then I'm not helping anyone, right? But the more I can honor that, the more helpful I can be.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. How, like, can you think of a particular like moment where you experienced that and that showed up for you?
Well, I guess the like one version of that was just Sebane Selassie. So she was one of the guests on our podcast, and you know, she's a meditation teacher, and she's also so politically aware and involved, and she's like, I'm not trying to go out and do all that stuff. Like, I'm not trained to be an activist. Like, this is what I do. And to see other, whenever you see people like so sitting comfortably in their embodied self and they're just doing their thing unapologetically, you know what I mean? That gives me permission to do that too.
Yeah.
So that was helpful. But also because we've had so many conversations about how I really do believe like our peace is the biggest contribution that we give to the world. And so it's like, if I can embody that one, that's already important. And then if I can also help other people, and then I guess like seeing the fact that I've been helping other people this whole year, just like finding relief or finding clarity or feeling more relaxed when they previously would have been anxious, like all of that stuff, I'm like, oh yeah, like that's valuable. I'm helping people like one at a time, and that's cool. I don't need to like worry that I need to go out and help like
fix the whole
world, which is also just coming from like an ego place, kind of being like, oh, I need to like be grander. And like I do well with one-on-one. Like I work really well with people one-on-one. It's where I like to live. And there's something really, as you know, like something so intimate and special about that. And I'm just, the thing that I tell my clients all the time is like, don't try and be a fish trying to climb a tree. Cause if you're trying to be a fish climbing a tree, you're going to think that you're doing it wrong your entire life, but actually you're a fish with all these special fish powers and you belong in the ocean, but you're like trying to climb this tree. Right. So.
Yeah. I mean, what I hear you saying is like, you know, to continue that metaphor, like you've been a fish in the ocean for a while, you've been doing this work, but like, maybe you were like looking up at the tree being like, but am I supposed to be, is that what I'm supposed to be doing?
Well, I think in terms specifically of like the political strife of 2020,
right.
It was like my shame and my guilt coming in, and like my guilt around privilege also, which was there. And that's something that like I always have struggled with. And so like, and feeling like, am I doing enough? Like I always have this feeling of like, am I doing enough? And so I think because 2020, I had to really ask myself if I was doing enough. And worrying that I was not doing enough was not actually making me do more. So just kind of, you know.
That's a really good point. Yeah. The shame that you're not doing enough is just keeps you not doing enough.
Yeah.
Like if that is even the truth. Yeah. I think of that interview with Sebane a lot, and I think of a lot of our interviews a lot, and the different like nuggets of wisdom people give. And I do feel like one of the themes that's come through, like from Dana also, and a bunch of our guests, has been this idea that like, figure out what it is that you are really like, I want to say responsible for, but that's not totally the right word. But like, yeah, like what is it that is your gift? And then like, fucking bring it in that area, you know? Yeah.
And I think it's like, whatever your gift is also where your passions and interests are. Like those are closely tied together. So for people are like, I don't know what my gifts are. Well, just your gifts are whatever it is that you're passionate about. And then you like cultivate that, and then it becomes more of a gift.
And I also feel like your gift is what you've had to unlearn. Like also like where the most of your unlearning comes from, you know?
True. That's so true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like, I was talking to someone who's like going through a painful experience. That's like the third time that she's gone through this experience this year. And I was like, well, And she's a coach. And I was like, because this is what you, this is what, this is actually your niche. You're like, you're creating it, you're living it. And so like, this is what you teach. So yeah. like, that's why you're having to like live this over and over again.
We teach what we know. We teach what we know.
Yeah. Or what we need to know.
Yeah. Too. What we needed to know. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. But I'm glad that you're speaking to like, I don't know, just the incredible like rise of awareness around social justice that's happened this year. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's been, I feel like so many things have just like shifted in a way that's like, feels like this permanent shift. Like, I feel like there's been all these little like pockets before of things being like, hey, we should care about this, or hey, we should do a better job. But like, there's something about this year and the intensity of it that just feels like things are just different now, and we don't go back to a world where like,
yeah,
you know, do you know what I, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yes, I do. And I've gotten this like, I don't know, I want to say it's a message, but like this download or something. I don't know if it's like from things I've been listening to or what, but just this vibe of like 2020 is hopefully going to be the year that sends us into the next year of like no more bullshit. Like yeah. no more, just like no more room and not being available for our own bullshit also. And also like just life's bullshit. Cause it's like, I don't know. Things just seem kind of stripped down in a way. They're like, I don't know how to explain it, but 2020 has been so intense. Right. So it's like, you only really have room for shit. That's like, I don't know. I think you have choices, but it's like, either hopefully you choose the path in which you only have room and you can only be available for things that are going to make your life good.
Yeah. But even, I mean, yes, I completely agree with that. And also like, how do I describe the energy of things? I think because we have gone through this incredibly intense experience and made certain choices and like certain conversations have happened that like one of my like soapboxes is that after a woman gives birth, there's all this conversation about like going back, like when do you I didn't feel back to normal until a year, or like get your body back, like there's all this stuff about like returning to something, but that's something like literally doesn't exist. Like that you died and there is now a new you, mm-hmm. and you can like get to know her and probably mourn the you who has died, but like you don't actually get to go back, mm-hmm. and I think it's a huge disservice that we do to like new moms that like there's this focus on returning to something. And this feels like a similar experience, like on a cultural level, like there is no like normal that we return to. We will only create a new normal, mm-hmm. in some ways of like, you probably won't shake hands with people for business deals. Like there's like some like really like little things, mm-hmm. but then I also just think then there's like these really big things of like, I just think that our understanding of like race in America is so fun, like is so different, and is only like beginning. It's just feels like the very beginning of us starting mm-hmm. to finally figure it out, you know, but it like in a way that's like, I don't know. I don't know if what I'm saying makes sense, but there's just this way that
I also think that like, it's not going to be apparent until after we like get out. I think I'm totally in agreement with everything that you're saying, right? Like it just feels also that way, but it's like not going to be clear until we're, like you said, you started off this podcast talking about how we're like trying to process something in the middle of the trauma.
Yeah.
But like after we get out of this, then I think a lot of things are going to, it's going to be more clear. Like, what are we going to go like, we're not like going back to anything. We have to make the choice to move forward with everything that we've learned and experienced in this very strange part of history.
I think you're right, like we're still making those choices.
Right
Because I think also like politically, like we're also at this interesting moment now where like, you know, with Biden being elected, there's a way that we could how do I describe this? Like, there's a way that we could like all like lean back and be like, oh, great, we did it, we're done. Mm-hmm. Right. And then like that, but that feels, I don't know, that doesn't feel, and maybe it's just the little pocket that I pay attention to, but that doesn't feel present the same way that it has been in the past.
No, I think if anything, again, this is also on an individual basis. I have no idea. Maybe some people don't feel this way, but if anything, I kind of feel like, oh no, now we got to double down. Cause like we chose you, so you better step it the fuck up, because we've got some expectations and there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And like, Yeah. Like you're more on the hook than off the hook, if anything.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. What do you, and this is like, you might not have an answer for this right away, but what do you feel like 2020 has taught you in terms of like, as a social being?
Yeah, that's interesting, because I made a note on that. And I think what it has taught me is that I want to word this carefully, because I want to honor myself and not like feel like insecure about this, but I do feel like it sounds kind of weird, because I'm not sure if this is a good thing. All of this preface is to say that I really enjoy being by myself, and like it's really just shown me that I'm okay in I'm really okay living a very simple life. Like I'm really okay with living a very, very pared down, simple, focused life. But the reason I had all that preface is because, one, it's not to say that I miss so many things. Like I miss, you know, social interactions. I miss like humanity in general. So it's not that I'm like immune to all of that. But I also think I feel weird saying that, because sometimes I'm like, is there something wrong with me? Like,
yeah.
Ultimately, like I should be happy because, like, you know, maybe because I'm more of an introvert, like it's not like my skin isn't crawling to like get out, I think, as maybe it might be for other people. But I do wonder, I'm like, is this healthy? Like, is this okay? Like, is this normal?
Well, I think it's interesting, because I also sometimes like, because I am a huge extrovert. I mean, I've become more as I've become, I used to be the kind of extrovert who was like just trying to run away from herself all the time. So as I am more as I like myself more, I'm like actually enjoy alone time and like now want it. Small children will also do that. To you. But I do sometimes have to pause and be like, is this like I guess what I'm trying to say is, I feel like I should be more. I am a huge extrovert. I love my people. I like really, and I've always had like a number of people who are like I go to for different types of conversations, and I'm the worst fucking texter. I hate texting people. Like I don't really love like Zoom dates with friends, because I'm on Zoom all the time for like work. Like it just doesn't anyway. So like I have been like abysmal at staying in touch with people. And because I've always been the kind of person who's like, well, I suck at texting, but then like I'll come sit on your couch and we'll hang out all day. You know, like that's just always the way I've been. And I feel like I can't tell if it's just because I'm in survival mode and because it's not an option that I'm kind of just like head down and like, well, this is what we do now. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell if like there's this huge wound that's actually so huge that I can't really look at it, or if I'm like just really adaptable. I don't know. Like I really, really miss people. And also I'm like, well, this is just what we do now. I don't know. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say?
It makes total sense. And I think there's a question of like, I hear both of us be like, is there something wrong with us? Or is there something wrong here? I think that's like the question. I do think what's going to happen though, is that like when the world quote unquote opens back up or whatever, and like we can socialize and touch again, I think it's only going to be apparent then like what the truth of our existence is because I'm saying like, I do well right now with like, solitude or, you know, just having a simplified life. But I'm sure like the minute I get to go see my friends, I will probably just be like crying. And I will probably just be like, oh my God, I needed this so much. And I didn't even know it. Right. But I won't really like, I do kind of feel that, you know, now too, but maybe I won't feel it to its capacity until it happens.
I think that's it. Cause like the other night I did have a Zoom date with my friend, future podcast guest, Gina Cadlick, and like future, like next year, guys. And like, it's so funny because I missed her terribly, but she's going to be, I shouldn't say this yet. But anyway, she's working on a project that I was like, oh, let's like meet and talk about it. And so I like basically met with her because I was like, oh, I'll be your business coach for the evening. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, I don't understand how to socialize in this COVID world. And so even with my best friends, I'm like, oh, in order to socialize with you, I have to coach you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, mm-hmm. I'm just like, I literally just think that like my friendship space is just like broken. It's just like out of commission.
Yeah.
And like, cause I just don't know how to like, I can't see someone enough. I don't know. The whole thing feels so still, I haven't figured it out. And so I'm just like, it's just not accessible. And I do think that it is creating a loneliness, like that numb feeling that you were talking about before. I was like, oh, I think that's what shows up for me when I'm lonely. And I think it shows up as a numbness because I'm like, well, what the fuck do I do about it? Cause I don't mm-hmm. want to, cause we're in COVID. So, yeah. But I think you're right that like the ways that that's affecting us won't really, it's like frostbite. Like it's when you start to thaw that your feet mm-hmm. actually hurt.
Yeah.
I think
that's a really great analogy.
Yeah. I think it's like
but,
that.
But I'm sure psychologically it's affecting us on some level, right? Because we're social creatures and like we need that interaction. But I also think I'm coming from a place of like prior to living in Phoenix, I lived in Taiwan for 3 years. So I'm really used to having friendships that like my friends are all really cool. Cause we're the same in that, like, we don't have to talk all the time. And then we like come back together and then it's like totally fine. And I guess I'm just used to also having sort of like friendships people far away where I'm not seeing them all the time.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the skill that we're kind of developing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Does that feel like a good place to wrap it up? I mean, honestly, I could talk forever, of course, as all the listeners know, but like, cause I have, this is not the summation of everything that I've learned in 2020. Cause I really think there's so much and I wanted to share the positives that I want to, you know, I think there are also a lot of difficulties too, that we didn't dive into because that's not what this podcast was, but.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What is a single moment in 20, like what is a memory of 2020? That's just like feels like a really happy memory.
Oh my God, that's such a good question. Okay, I think we should both answer this.
Okay.
First of all, I want to preface this by saying I literally don't remember anything pre-COVID. Like I don't remember January to March at all.
I know.
I don't remember. Like it's so strange. It's like a black hole. Okay, let me think about this. I'm gonna like. I have to think too.
I have the question. I don't have an answer yet.
You said what was a moment of like where I had.
What's just like really... a moment, like just like a really happy memory of 2020.
Okay. Well, maybe this could be our joy for the episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or we could do both. Okay. So a really happy memory for 2020. I also just have a terrible long-term memory.
I know. Okay, I got one.
Okay, well, I'll start.
Okay.
So I'm terrible at answering these questions because every time like Adam will ask me what's my favorite thing, I can never just pick one. Like I'm really bad at that. So I will share a couple that came to mind. And it's funny because we were just talking about how, you know, I'm like in solitude, but every one of those memories is connected to a person. And I've actually had I've been very lucky. Like one, I escaped America for a couple of weeks there and I went actually back to Taiwan. And so I don't exactly know the exact memory, but I know it probably has something to do with like eating dinner with my parents, like just that simple moment of eating dinner with my parents. The other thing that came to me was like spending time with my nephews. So at one point in the beginning, I drove out to LA and was helping my brother with the kids and just like playing around in the living room with them and you know just like that stuff and their joy, which is just so sometimes kids' joy is just contagious.
Yeah.
And then the third one is like honestly just like sitting on the couch like Adam cooking food for me and us just like watching TV and like snuggling and holding on to each other for dear life, because it's like we are each other's people like in this year. And it's like we're not going anywhere, but I do feel such a extreme gratitude for having such like a solid rock in my life. Yeah. So that didn't answer your question, because it's not like a moment. Those aren't.
That's a beautiful answer. Yeah. I love that answer. But
it is funny how they all correlate back to the relationships in my life.
Yeah. Right. Of course. Of course.
What about you?
So one time this summer, we packed up early in the morning and we drove like 40 minutes south of where I live to this pond that I found on another day, like previously when I was like on this adventure with my son, and it had like this like random little pond that has like a private like beach. And I like, so we basically like snuck in and went to the private beach and we had the place to ourselves. I went there a couple times this summer, but one day Nick and the kids and I all went and we swam at this beautiful pond. And then when it was my daughter's nap time, we got back in the car and then kept driving south. So instead of going home, we kept driving south and she napped in the car. Like we got McDonald's drive through and like drove to Cape Cod, which is like not that far from where I live. And then like spent the whole day, like, you know, it's COVID, so we couldn't go in anywhere, but we like got ice cream and we went to the beach really late. And like my son had to poop, and so we took him in the woods to poop, like, because, you know, like, which I don't know why that story, I just find hilarious, but like, it was just like in a year, like as a family that loves to travel, in a year where we couldn't go anywhere, it was just this like magical day where we like, we're just out and having an adventure together. And like, I love those kind of moments where like one thing leads to the next, you know, instead of like, oh, we went and did this fun thing and then I went home. It was like, we went and did the fun thing and then we like kept doing more fun things.
Spontaneously.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, we all came home sandy and tired. And like, that was
Kylie, that was so really beautiful. Fun. Like, truly, yeah. I feel like you took me to a time and place. And also like getting McDonald's, you know, like eating in the car, right? Like that kind of stuff is so fun. It's always the little things. It's like the little things.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. All right. Should we still do joy, or is that our joy?
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, I could share a joy if you have something.
I can have something. Yeah. I got something. Okay.
All right.
You want to go first?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, my joy is that Awakening, my course that I've been talking about for so long, the launch ended and it started today. And I don't even know how to express it in words, I guess. It's joy, but really it's gratitude for the people who have signed up. And I feel lots of things. I guess I haven't processed my emotions yet, because I don't know, but I think gratitude is a big one. It's just exciting to start. And you know what? I'm really fucking proud of myself. Like, you put in all this work and you create something from like the depth of your soul and you like, and you share it and you risk getting criticized and it's very vulnerable and you do it anyway, because you believe in it, and now it's done and it's out there. And it's, that's something that's bringing me joy.
That's a fucking amazing. I love that. And we are all better off for you doing the thing.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we are like full on Christmas in my house. I wish that all of you could see my house right now. Like, we have the tree. I've already told you all about the like blow up unicorn in the front yard. But then my husband has like literally been like Mr. Christmas. And I told him that last night, like, I'm so grateful, because there's this way that he's just like create, like insisting on joy and creating joy in our house. Like, he like made this massive Christmas playlist that we listen to all the time. Like, he like was like, we should decorate our whole house. And so like, I went to the party supply store and bought these like pin, like red and green pinwheels to like hang from the ceiling. And like, it's just like a Christmas tacky dream, and it's amazing.
Oh my god, that sounds so fun.
Yeah, and I'm just really grateful for Nick, because I haven't really had the bandwidth to be like, oh, let's make Christmas really special. And he's just like holding space for all of us. And then of course, like, being four is like the perfect age to be like so fucking pumped about Christmas.
God, I know, that's gotta be so, like, I can feel that excitement. It's like, oh, to be a kid and to have your parents do that, like, you guys are doing something magical.
It's really, and so like the other night we like we all like jumped in the car and just like drove around and looked at Christmas lights. And because it's, I mean, it's a really beautiful thing. I don't know if it's happening in Phoenix, but here, like, people are like crazy about Christmas lights. There's like more lights than I've ever seen before. And like, it's so beautiful. And so we just drove around for like a half an hour looking at Christmas lights. And I didn't know if my daughter would even really be able to see, cause like she's in like the baby car seat and she's in the back seat going, look at the lights.
Oh my
God. Look at the reindeer. And so we're all just like yelling in the car being like, whoa. Yeah. And it was just like,
You're right. Because it does, it is like the season of Christmas. It doesn't feel, I feel motivated to go find Christmas lights in Phoenix. I know how magical that can feel. Because where I grew up in California, it was like people went crazy. And it brings in the magic of Christmas. And so you've got that full on. I mean, I can see there's also lights in the background where you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a vibe here.
It's a winter wonderland.
It's a winter wonderland. And it's like also like it's because like half of these come from the party supply store. It's like shitty tacky Christmas decorations, which is making it even better for me. Like,
yeah.
Like it's just like it just is like a Christmas surprise threw up in our house. And it's great.
I love it. Yeah. That's definitely a celebration of joy.
Thank you, dear listeners, for being on this wild ride of a year with us. And we love you all.
Yeah, seriously. This podcast is partly in what gets us through. So thank you for joining us and for being part of this community. And if you aren't already in the Facebook group, you should totally join the Hello Universe Community Facebook group, where you can share, ask questions, interact with other spiritual beings. And
if you know someone who enjoys long rambly conversations about spirituality, please share the podcast, because it's a really great way that we can, you know,
grow,
share the magic, and you know, and we're grateful for that.
Yeah. And you can find me, Eva, on Instagram. I think I said this earlier, at Bad Bitch Living. And what about you, Kylie? Where can people, I mean, I know you said your Instagram's sleepy, but Facebook
is awesome. True. That's my 2021 business resolution, is to like resurrect my Instagram. My website's KylieCaldwell.com. Ooh, I have a newsletter now, guys, that goes out every week. It actually goes out twice a week, because on Thursdays you get an update about the podcast, and Tuesdays you get like whatever musings I have. I send out like a monthly meditation, or like monthly message from the records. It's been so much fun. And shout out to Jimena, the beautiful marketing goddess who's helping me create this.
God, I need to ask you about that, because I struggle with emails.
Yeah, it's amazing, because I have two people who've joined my team who are, if you guys are listening, like, I have tears in my eyes just thinking of how amazing you are. Jimena is like, has built these beautiful, gorgeous templates. And it's great, because now I have a deadline. Because she like helps me format it and like sends it to me to like, you know, proofread. And like the simple act of like, oh, I told someone else I would get this to them by Tuesday morning, means I freaking write the newsletter. Whereas if it's just for me to do it, it just like hangs in limbo. Yeah, so like, I told her the other day, I was like, you do realize that like 60% of this is like, you're my accountability buddy that I pay, you know?
Yep.
It's amazing. And I'm so grateful. Catherine and Hamana, they're like fucking superpowers, superheroes. But yeah, so if you go to KylieCaldwell.com, you can sign up for my newsletter. And I'll send all sorts of goodies. And my Facebook group is Akashic Soul Circle on Facebook, and I'm in there probably too much.
That's good. You guys can get some of Kylie there, though. That's
Yeah. But also, like, if you're not in that group and you listen to the podcast, I would really recommend it, because I can't even tell you how many people, like, just today, someone was like, I don't really comment in your group, but I go there all the time, because I've never found another space that's like as like loving and supportive. Mm. And like, people bare their souls and are like so lovely and warm. Like, it is like a really special place. So come join me there.
Yeah. All right.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye. Mm.